With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Max from Jersey, and you're listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. My question is, do you think the notion of staying true to your art can actually stunt your artistic progress? Okay, here comes the show, and remember, question everything.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast for myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dane Baptiste, my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer.
Hello!
And a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we're talking everything from...
Everything from Max from Jersey's question. Do you think staying true to your art stunts your progress? Dane, that's a
great
deep one,
question.
Right? Max, you're a deep guy out there in Jersey.
I think it's a great question. I guess, Matt, it depends on what you define as progress or what your criteria for progress. I would... The presumption that you're talking about, like, professional and industrial progress, I would say, not necessarily. I agree with you.
Do you know what I think the key thing is that you should keep in mind, Max, and anyone who's artistic? Don't expect it to be a straight line.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key, right, Dane? We all have bumps in our road of artistic life, and sometimes you will do something shit.
Yeah. Is it shit? Because the objective is for you to learn. So, but yeah, it can be shit. But by the same token, if your only goal is to create and to enjoy what you're doing, then nothing can be shit. It can even be an experience.
Exactly.
So, and what I want to say is that Dave Chappelle, for example, is someone who is known characteristically for staying true to his art and doing so occasionally at his own expense. But over the course of the last week and over the course of the last year, has emerged and is now being recognized as both critically and commercially as one of the best people in his field, as well as getting his full payout for the Chappelle Show as well recently by Comedy Central, which means, you know, it may take longer than normal, but if you stay true to yourself and to your principles, especially when it is the consumer which decides your progress, then you won't suffer. But at the end of the day, I just think, like I said, as an artist, progress is not about financial success and necessarily from commercial acclaim. It's about being able to enjoy the process of expression.
Great question, Max. And on this show, we ask and answer all the questions, don't we, Dane?
Always continue to ask and answer all the questions. No question is too big, small, smart or stupid. We welcome all questions. And if you do like the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify and you'll never miss an episode, or subscribe to us on Acast, the world's largest podcast network. That being said, today's show is a very special show.
It's the 100th episode of Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. Dane, did you ever think we'd get here? Probably yes, actually, I guess.
But... I mean, I hope we would. That's a good question, Howard. So that's a good question. Do I think we'd get here? I'd say I hoped we would.
Yeah.
So I'd say yes. I approached it with optimism. And it's been a very fun journey. It's been a very fun journey.
Couple of years. And today, listeners, we are bringing you a special episode where we are not just having one guest, we are having a couple of guests. Like, it's a party to celebrate the birthday of Dane Baptiste Question Everything. And they're some of our favourite guests from the past 100 episodes. Dane doesn't know who they are. I'm going to surprise him. Are you comfortable with that, Dane?
I am very comfortable with that. I don't think I've pissed anybody off. But a centennial episode comes back and you're like, you remember me? So
yeah, it's a good observation.
I'm very happy that people have been so nice to return to the show. It is because of these people, of the first 100, that we've gotten to this point. So, you know, whoever these people are, they are responsible for us arriving at this point. So they're always welcome. And I am forever grateful. So looking forward to it, Howard.
And so on today's show, our first guest is our first guest, the first guest we ever had on Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. We recorded this episode kind of best part of a couple of years ago, and we were in a place in Brixton, and now we all live in an apocalypse where we record it remotely. But I'm delighted to welcome to the show one of your main buddies in comedy, Kay Curd.
Hey, it's my KD. Let's bring him in for sure. Absolutely. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right if it was 100 episodes without the man himself.
What's going on?
Yes, mate.
Man, like, what's happening, man?
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming back. This is our 100th episode, man. You started it.
Are we actually recording right now?
We are recording straight in.
No, because you know when you don't know, like, it's like, hi, guys, we're going to have a bit of pre-game chat.
We're going straight in.
It's good to be here for episode 100. This was merely an idea. You brought me on, and now look, it's flourishing. Absolutely. I'm not going to take all the credit for it, but listen, episode is
literally
very important.
You literally have 1% credit, though. I think right now you've got now literally 2% credit.
But obviously, like, listen, first episode is very important. If I had a shit question, it would have all gone downhill. Like, I don't know if we should release the first
one. Had to get the pilot popping. The pilot episode at the bank store.
People love that first episode. And, you know, I mean, obviously nothing's changed in the world since we recorded it. I was looking...
You say that, Howard, when you think about it, like, because Kay's question as I recall in the first episode was, how come you're still here when you could go to America? And
well, it wasn't like that, but essentially, I mean, it wasn't worded.
To paraphrase. But it was a good point. It was a good point, though. But, you know, I think a lot of things have happened which have helped answer that question. Since then, I've made some more inroads into the States. Like, I've had a commission for the format of a sitcom, now signed with a new representative in the States as well. And I've now done a show where I directly highlighted the issue of losing non-white talent to the Americas in BAMUS. So, yeah, man, it was a good catalyst for me to get my thing popping, Kay. And what about yourself? How's things been?
Do you know, I don't even know how to answer that anymore, man. Yeah. I hate the cliches of there's light at the end of the tunnel, there we're all in it together.
It's just a new normal, isn't it? It's just a new normal.
No, fuck all of this. I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm lonely.
It's boring.
All of it.
Bored.
I'm bored.
Yeah, bored.
Like, and people are like, do you know the one thing I hate as well? I bet you've got loads of material, but shut up, man. Shut up.
Where would I go to have material? I can't go. I can't socialize. I can't observe a phenomenon. I can't. Anything I'm experiencing the same way as everybody else. And then I don't have anywhere I can actually break down ideas in the first place. But
it's like all of the premises that we would have been done as like videos or TikToks or tweets and whatever. Yeah. So it's like anything that's sort of like relatable about this period of time now has been like done to death. So you're just like, what do you expect? Oh, man, I bet you're loving this. Yeah, you've got loads of jokes coming from this, man. Can't wait. Like, nah, bro. Like, that first moment where everybody gets back on stage. I mean, some people are still going to be just doing the same jokes they've been doing for 13 years. But, like...
Yes, they are. Some people, it's institutionalized. It's like, you know, it's like being incarcerated. Some people are just going to go right back to what they were doing before. Yeah. Some of us have been locked down, being like, I want to really change my life for the better and make something of myself. Some people are like... Mate, as soon as I touch the road, back to business.
Yeah. Like, the thing with Tinder is... No, shut up.
And football shit now as well, isn't it? For watching football, it's so dry without the crowd there, right?
Do you know, I'm still grateful that football's on because the first lockdown, I don't think people remember how boring it was, like when there was no sport. Mm. Bro, you couldn't even find badminton or table tennis to watch. Like, there was nothing.
Was
you were on BT Sport, like looking for a crumb of like sport, just anything. Remember when the Korean League started up and we were all like, oh my God, I'm watching Korean football. If anybody cared about Korean football, it was like, oh, yes. But football is crap. And like, right, well, not crap, but like, it's unpredictable. It's weird.
It's dry. It's just drier, isn't it? It's just a bit dry.
I think that's symptomatic of like something else as well. Tactically, the game's gone. VAR and all that stuff. Yeah. I think now like there's less focus on individual brilliance and it's more about building...
No, it's numbers. It's numbers, and it's very quantitative. Yeah, it's like Formula One. I think Formula One has been become very similar, with the exception of, like, you know, standout players.
I still think Formula One's a lot more exciting. When Hamilton leaves, you'll see how exciting Formula
One. I mean, he keeps it exciting, but it's like with
I think Lewis Hamilton's so good, he makes it boring. So
yeah, Schumacher used to do the same.
Yeah,
right?
Schumacher used to do the moment Lewis Hamilton leaves, which will be a blow to the sport anyway. But the moment he leaves, it's going to be a lot more competitive. You see, when he was out for one race and how weird and competitive it got. Like, it's
But he can't leave. If he leaves, he should be able to leave it to do something like to like greener pastures, or I guess more astrological. I think Lewis Hamilton and like people of his caliber should be able to like graduate to like rocket ships. Like, you should be able to like do races to the moon and stuff, and then. Like, that's the next level, isn't it? If Formula One is boring now, like Formula Zero should be like intergalactic travel. Nothing crazy, but you just get like a rocket, and it's who gets to the moon quickest.
That was called the space race, and
exactly. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
One and Russia lost it, and it required a lot of money that could have been spent on. Oi, I've got something about space exploration, right? And I don't think people like. I always ask, what's the point?
Oh, I'm so with you. Where's the fucking where's the teleporting? Where's the fucking fucking aliens? This is water. You found water on Mars. I don't give a shit.
Genuinely though, like, what's the point in it? Like, realistically, yeah. When they go, oh yeah, we're gonna see if. So what? So what? There was life on Mars. There's bacteria. I don't give a shit, bro. Like, I am here. Like, look. There's still homeless people, innit? Like, and this is costing billions and billions in order to just fly a rocket up where people are literally shitting in plastic bags in a rocket for months, right?
Absolutely, but people shit in plastic bags on the street, 2K.
My point is, like, do you know what I mean? It's just like, what benefit am I getting from finding out, like, I'm insignificant in the grand scheme of things.
Well, you never know. Like, you might be able to put in like an early bid for like land and property, or have a street named after you on Mars one day.
No,
like,
bro,
like, you know, a housing complex.
And listen, like, if sci-fi is anything to go by, right? There is nothing good from exploring space. There is nothing good. That's
just beef. Just loads of beef. That's all that's gonna happen.
We're just gonna end up fighting someone that's stronger than us.
But we're a beefing. We are a beefing race interplanetary scale. So it's not like we're, you know, like on Earth and cool with all the other species.
I thought he was talking about black people. I was like, Dane, this is very off brand.
No, black people get. I was like,
Dane, you're outdoing all the great work you've done.
Trying to cancel myself before I get to Mars. No, I'm gonna get to Mars before I can. Listen, I think space exploration. I mean, I think so far as government sponsored space exploration, I think for a long time the idea of like the space race was to replace war bonds and getting people to like put tax money towards bullshit that they will never see any return on themselves directly.
No, listen, man, just going to space is just a dick measuring contest.
To an extent.
That's all it is, right? Because now even like the UAE is getting involved on it, India's getting involved in it and whatever. Everyone's like, hey, look, we can go to space. I don't care. I don't care, bro.
Formula Zero is coming, man.
Are you? And also, yeah, I was having this discussion with someone the other day, right? I don't have any desire to go into space when people are like...
Sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Bro, if you think lockdown shit, how do you think you're going to survive 6 months
on a space station
in a 4x4 pocket, bro? You're out of your mind on a
space station.
Well, yeah. Just to say, Kay, you know, like, so good to see you and have you back on the show. And we're bringing a few people back in this episode. We're going to bring someone else into the room, but we're bringing back someone in from, you know, it's a long time ago that we did episode 11. Where the subject, one of the most contentious subjects we ever had, which was potato based. So I'm very pleased to welcome back onto the show my friend and yours.
Yeah.
The big man, Ishan Akbar. Here he is.
E funny bags.
A salami bacon.
Hey, salami bacon.
What's going on?
Ishan, you've grown a beard and look like you've been through an apocalypse, which I guess we have.
An apocalypse of beauty. Listen, first of all, down to this mauve hoodie, very much
thank
so.
You. Like, thank you.
He looks like an ethnic Teletubby. This is great.
Listen, Jordan Walsh keeps taking the piss out. I think it's a nice colour. I think it suits
me. It's a great colour.
Who was that? What was that name you just dropped?
Oh, shut up. Sean Walsh and I are besties.
No, it's a great colour, man.
On Zoom with Sean Walsh, star of Live at the Apollo, amongst other things.
Yeah.
At the microphone as well.
The star of Strictly Come Dancing and kissing. Pow, pow, pow.
The star of kissing.
welcome back to the show, Ishan. You were episode 11. We are now on our 100th episode.
Episode 11, released on the 9th of September. What a day.
It was a day that will live in potato-based infamy forevermore. Since then, have you discovered, I discovered a new type of potato, like where they basically cut it like it's like, you know, like
Hasselback.
No, like a Hasselback, accordion, yeah. Nice. They do it like an accordion.
Yeah, Hasselback.
Yeah, they deep fry it. So that's...
Yeah, yeah. It's buff. And then you can put like cheese sauce in it and pass it out. It's lovely.
It's crazy. Mm. I mean, I can't put cheese sauce in it because I'm lactose intolerant. That's still not changed, but I'm still...
Nothing's changed, yeah.
Innovate on stuff. I got so bored on lockdown, fellas. I made like homemade hash browns the other day.
Rosti. You made like a little Rosti.
Homemade hash browns are great. I never know what kind of towel to use to drain the
potatoes. They are great, but you know what's greater? Being the fuck outside, Ishan.
Yeah, sure.
But interestingly, I was talking to someone about this the other day. I don't know what you guys think about food and like your meals in lockdown have become extra important. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but
it's an hour of being able to, you know, escape from the tedium of being in my freaking house. So yeah.
Also, I'm eating healthier than I ever have because I've got an air fryer and I'm cooking like most of my meals.
To be fair, Ishan, eating healthier than you ever have is not hard for you.
Yeah, listen, it is. I'm having fried chicken in an air fried.
Usually, way. I have samosas. Now,
I've shifted.
Well, it's still fried, but there's no stains, Kay, and that's what counts.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Look, man, I usually deep fry my bacon, but now I use a 1-calorie spray. Just
pow, pow, pow. This makes a huge difference.
Exactly.
About you, Kay? Are you eating differently in lockdown? Are you kind of like spending more time making your food or?
I've got a meal prep company sending me food, so.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's much worse than
I used to have a meal prep company sending me food and then she died. You know what I mean?
Well, the day that a service starts again, you'll be fucking scared, Isha. the zombie delivery. Yeah.
You know what, bro? Like, I just feel like I've been through so much. It's only been a year, but it feels like it's been much longer, innit? Like, I feel like...
But year's a long time, bro.
A year's a very long time.
No, but like, even my days feel like different days now. Like, I mean, like, I'll do something in the morning and it's like, fuck, was that today? Like...
last week got bad for me. Literally last week, for the whole week, I woke up and I was like... again.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, man.
Just that life. Just that life. I was just like,
I'm not gonna lie to you. I felt like that since about June, bro. Like, I'm just like, what? Another day of this shit. Like, I can't. Like, I'm done. And you know what? I wouldn't really say like I'm like I don't crave things like nightclubs or bars or pubs or any of that sort of stuff. But it's just like being able to go out and seeing people and like just...
Well, like, I also think, Kay, like, you know, like the phrase cotching, which I'm sure many of us know, like just hanging with your mates.
I loved how it sounded. That sounded worse than when I say it.
I've said that phrase before I started this podcast, I want you to know. I've said that phrase for decades.
The pecking order of the old Quarters Full gang has changed significantly.
Bro, I'm so happy.
And now we've expanded it.
How do I went on urbandictionary.com.
I'm from East London.
Adam Howard, East London, but old school.
Anyway,
East
my point was going to be that it's just like I had a Zoom with some mates from school last night, and at the end of it, we'd been on for about 90 minutes. At the end of it, everyone was just like, you know what? I've had enough.
What, of each other?
Yeah, well, just the Zoom experience. You know what I mean? You're like sitting there and it's like, okay, well, we're not at a pub or we're not around someone's house or whatever. Yeah. It's just like, right, well, we've kind of talked enough now. Bye. Like, there's not really much more to say, is there? It just gets a bit awkward, doesn't it?
it's that point where most men have what's called a porn seizure, where you're like, why am I still looking at the screen and I don't remember what happened the last 10 minutes ago? Because you probably would have like looked at a porn tab by then.
Yeah.
And then done what you need to do and got back to normal stuff. But you're just like, staying at the screen for so long and I haven't got a deadline. Like, why am I doing this? What the fuck is going on? And so that's probably what happened, Howard, is that at one point one of your friends was kind of like, I'd probably be looking at porn by this point now and I'm still talking to my friends and that's weird.
But then also when you're hanging out in a pub or whatever, you can like, you can break off and hang out with someone else. You can have a fag break, you know, whatever it might be. You can't do that on a Zoom.
Exactly. You can't lie to your wife on a Zoom about what you're doing.
Speaking of wives, we've actually got another guest to bring in now. This is a guest from episode 97, so quite a recent one. It's one that we had a lot of fun on, Dane, with you guys, someone you all know, Bubba Tunde Eleshi.
This is
yes.
The shittiest stars in their eyes ever. But.
You can tell him when he comes.
This is my podcast, Kate. This is my
Welcome to the show, Bobby. He should be joining us any second.
Isham, don't cut your hair, bro. Just shape it up, man. This new luxurious beard of yours, it really suits you.
I'm going to trim it today, but the hair is just... I'm doing QI next Wednesday, so I don't know what to do about it. What? I'm worried about the hair.
Well, so what was that? I couldn't hear
what
you.
Was that again?
I'm doing QI for the second time next week.
What is that, Aisha? Just in case our listeners don't know,
it was actually quite interesting. And you asked me.
thanks for asking.
Log on.
Yes.
There you go.
Welcome, Bubba. You made it back to the 100th greatest, the 100th episode where we've been looking back at some of our favourite guests, and you were only on it a couple of weeks ago, and we loved you so much, we got you back.
Come on, that's how you know. Like, obviously, it's in the blood, fam. You know.
men. Ask the questions that need to be asked in the right way.
What episode was K on?
What? The first ever episode.
Original,
original gangster.
Saying, it was a pivotal moment, bruv. Like, do you know what I mean? It could have all gone there.
The pilot stuck.
Saying,
damn.
If you want a podcast to work, you get K involved, first of all, then you move on to something else, and then you get your food popping in. I've been there the whole time. K can bring you to the door, innit? It's whether you want to walk through or not, it's up to you.
Guide you. You could take a man to the river, do you know what I mean? But you can't take a drink.
You know, at this stage, K is like, who's going river? Let me come. Who's going to the river? What man is going river, yeah? What's the motive? What's the motive at the river? People in the river. Hi, Baba Tunde, how are you feeling about getting your walking papers? You got any plans for June the 21st?
Nah, I ain't no plans, bro. Actually, no. That's a lie. My wife has decided to book holidays.
Oh, that is risk.
All right.
It is risk.
Way too much confidence.
But it's a staycation. It's a staycation.
Look at the beauty of having a wife that earns more than you, bruv. Just well, she's just taking us away.
I'm just carrying the bags.
My budgies, and I'm on my way. So,
Where are you thinking of going? For everyone in the group, my question is, if money is not an object or time, first place you can go when we leave lockdown, where would you go? Starting with Howard.
I will go to Thailand. That quite wealthy lady that I married, her family have got a place out there. And it's sick.
Some of these Habs, man, his husbands and boyfriends. Well, my wife is coming to Thailand. It's really nice out there. So, you know, once lockdown's over, she knows I've had a really rough time. And so she's going to fly me out there and bring the baby to, you know, we've got kids.
Chamomile all over my body as well.
Honestly, Thailand is a fucking great... I know you guys ever been... That is
I
a big
it,
place.
You dirty bastard. No,
I was a bit worried because when you started your sentence, you said, my lady. I was like, where's this going?
Exactly. And not because of the act, but more because of the nomenclature, Howard.
Yeah.
The term is trans woman, not the old...
My female wife, Tara.
You mean your cisgender female wife.
Cisgender
woman wife. You can't say female either, Howard, because female, all species have female. A Homo sapien is a woman.
Yeah.
The female species of the species is a woman.
That's way too much, cuz.
Where are you going, Dane? Where are you going after...
Where am I going? I don't know, you know. I think I'll probably go to the States first. just to get my my citizenship sorted, didn't it? I've not been
there. Yeah.
I was going to say, you've got to protect.
Post Biden citizenship.
Yeah. So when they're like, where have you been for the last year or so? I'd be like, have you seen the news, brev? So where do you think I've been? Safe. So yeah, I'll probably go to the States, and then I have a holiday booked for the Emirates in October.
Ooh.
As in, okay. As in the Emirates, as opposed to
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Don't go to the Emirates, bro. Don't go to Arsenal Emirates.
No. That's a mid-table hotel.
When they turn up, I'll turn up, Ishan.
There you go.
When they turn up, I'll turn up. So yeah, I'll probably do States. Kay, what do you say you would do?
I have no flipping clue, but at this point, bro, I'll go to any of them shit.
I know where Kay's going.
I'll go Zante. I'll go
Ibiza.
Malia.
Anywhere, any ear.
Aren't you going to go see your special friend?
No, bruv. I'm going to any sort of like anything. Anywhere with a bit of sun and a bit of beach, I'm going there, bruv.
Anywhere that needs for Kay to change his watch and involves being on a plane. Man's on it. As long as I've got to change the time zone.
Honestly, after being in Britain for a year and a bit now, anything would be great. I'll go Vienna, Austria. I don't care. Like anywhere.
Vienna's cool. Come with me to my first trip, Bangladesh. Let's go.
We can make a TV show out of that. Let's do it.
I am saying, to be fair, this would be the most diverse travelogue that you could ever have.
This is
actual Bayman. No,
it wouldn't.
I think we've got Afro-Caribbean, you've got the B there, you've got the A, Ishan doing the A, and I guess Kay and Howard do the minority ethnic.
Or Middle Eastern.
Why doesn't it stand for Middle Eastern? I guess because that would also be Asian as well. So, BAME is a terrible term to use.
By the way, just to clarify, I'm not going to Bangladesh, I'm going to go to South Korea. That's where I want to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
I'm just obsessed with the place. I think it's just like such a cool place.
Are you into K-pop? Cool vibes. Are you into K-pop?
No, I'm not. But I just feel like it's a good country to go to be like, this is how a country should run. Yeah. After Britain, you want to go to a place where like, this is how shit is done properly. Like New Zealand is nice, but it's just a bit too far away. I feel like when I go to South Korea, I'll be like, this is how you balance being Asian and being European or like Western in one place. So I want to go to South Korea.
Baba, what about you?
If I had anywhere I could go, I'd go Barbados, man.
Of course.
I've been there before. Oh, lovely. Lovely.
This guy, bro. Rich wife.
Being ambition.
That's it. I got it.
So we've got one more guest to bring in.
Ooh.
I know. We've one more guest, which is from episode 14 of the 100 first episodes, and it's the brilliant Athena Kugblenu.
Yes!
I was going to say, if it's not a woman, you're...
I'm about to say, trying to ruin the whole podcast after 100 episodes, Howard.
I did my best, guys. I mean, welcome to the show. Look at this gang.
Oh,
we can see a baby.
Yeah. Wake up. No, joking.
You're rude. Right?
So rude. You've learned the thing.
Athena's just got such a calming aura around her. Like, I could already smell stage and everything. Like, as soon as she came into Zoom, bro.
There was all this testosterone flying around, and you, like a net with a net, just caught it all and just.
I'm a testosterone magnet. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking it all from you.
But Athena, when you came on the show, you were pregnant, right? If I remember correctly.
That's how crazy it is. I was pregnant with my first one like 3 months ago, and I squeezed out another one. So the next anniversary, God knows what, there'll be like a nursery.
I love that you emphasise that you squeezed it out. Although none of us had any doubts about your pelvic floor exercise integrity, Athena. We know you're on top of things. Let me see, baby.
We can see the baby, guys. Our listeners at home.
Oh.
I love baby.
I can't angle him. Like, there you go.
What's his name? Yeah.
Ion.
Ion.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
He's so sick.
Here's a great question I'm going to ask you, Athena. If you were to leave your baby with one of these four people for the afternoon, which one would you trust to be in charge the most?
Mind. I love my child.
Athena, come on, man.
I'm looking at you guys, like, Kay's looking at me right now, like, you're going to eat, like, yeah, I feel like a baby sandwich for lunch. Yeah. The way his face was expressionless just then, most people are like, oh, yeah, hold the baby, that'd be nice. He was like, yeah, I'm going to eat that baby. So definitely Kay's there. It has to be Dane. I mean, come on, like.
What? Hold on. The level of disrespect. I'm a dad.
This is mad.
I'm actually a dad, and you'll pick Dane over me.
And I'm a good potential dad.
I mean.
Can you explain my thought? Okay.
Can I just say, Bamatunde is a mother's partner.
I'm in my son's room now, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's not
this is my son's bedroom.
Wait. So what you mean to say is you've kicked your son out of his room?
Yes. I'm in his bedroom. Look, I've got his Mario cushion.
He's in the kitchen right now playing with knives and shorts.
Exactly.
I'll just put a puppy to sleep next to me. There's a puppy is right there.
Yes, dead did the puppy. That's what you're saying. Right,
listen, a mother knows best, guys. The decision is made.
Look at Ishan's dog. That's the nice dog, isn't it?
The dog is on the bed. The dog is on the bed. Where would my child nap?
Exactly. The dog's on the bed.
In my arms.
There you go. See?
In my arms. Mm. There you go.
Thanks for showing us your
look
arms.
Look at these bosoms. They're so warming.
No, you know what? To be fair, I would give my baby to Ishan.
Baba.
Billy. And where does he put the dog? Okay, where does the dog go?
Nah, facts. Yeah, you gotta put that dog out.
I ain't gonna lie. I feel mad disrespected.
Okay, you got a Rottweiler. You can't feel disrespected. You got a Rottweiler.
Exactly. Yeah, do you know how much love and care I had to give that Rottweiler for it not to turn out violent, bro?
Yeah, to turn into a Rottweiler. So, as you can see, Athena, Kay doesn't know when to walk away from a bad situation. Dog's like, and he's like, I can change her.
I think there's a big difference, though, between looking after a baby and looking after a kid, right? Like, I don't know, Kay.
Bro, most of parenting is just being there. Like,
yeah.
Honestly,
that's right, Athena. That's the face.
Well, did you see her face versus mine? I'm like, yeah, no, he's right. Yeah, yeah. And she's just like, what? I'm literally just there.
The man said, most of parenting. You know what? This could be a parent. This is there.
It's mug.
No, but like, listen.
Most of parenting is just being there, you know.
Hit me up, right? You just need to hit me up, right? Like, listen. You can't leave your baby alone, so you just need to be there, right?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm saying most of it. I'm not saying it's all of it, but like most of it is just being there, making sure enough is that. Because when a baby's a baby, like especially as a father, like, you just got to be, like, you can't really breastfeed or anything, so you're just looking at it again.
No, most of my time is, you know, making sure my son don't kill himself. That's not even a joke.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. You have to
stand outside and don't kill yourself quietly.
Have you heard me on the phone? Like, have you been on the phone with me when Judah's in the background?
Judah!
It's violent. It's not even a joke. Yeah.
Ishan, you're good with kids, I bet. Ishan, you love kind of lovable uncle vibe to you, you know?
Absolutely. So my younger brother is 10 years younger than me. I was responsible for changing his nappies, feeding him, all this stuff, because my mum fell ill after she gave birth to him. And then all my nephews and nieces, they all want to hang out with me. But especially when they're your son's age now, Athena, because I feel like away from their mum, I'm the closest thing they've got to like that soft bosom kind of feeling warm.
Yeah, you're like a human soft play area, right?
Yeah, basically. I've, there have been so many babies who, when I've held them, have like tried to grab for my nipple with their mouth, and I'm like, you know, I need to lose weight, but it's fine.
And they just,
I mean, or wear a thicker t-shirt, Ishan, when you're holding people's babies.
Stop holding them bare-chested.
Don't hold them there. Do you know what I mean?
I can't help it. It's the positioning of it.
Like, just, it's the fact you did this.
Give me a shoulder. Give me a shoulder.
It's
over. I think I qualify because...
You I'm don't. You've got three champagne bottles behind you, bro.
But they're empty, which means I celebrate life as much as possible. So, there you go. That's number one. So... Athena knows that the kids would be a priority all the time. And I'm obsessed with her kids. And so I'll just be doting all day. And a child is the perfect... For someone who has struggled with attention, a child and all of their quirks and things is perfect all day. Me and a baby all day focus on
this
it.
Is also, this is a pitch, not, oh, breastfeed your child, my child silent, oh, my child himself. That's a pitch, guys. That's a pitch.
No, Dane would be like talking to the child like it's an adult, like it'll be crying, like, you can't cry, because in the real world, the white man will take it. And you're like, Dane, the child is 9 months. Like, Dane.
But already, at 9 months, children already understand the like things like emotional trauma. So I'd be like, ASMR, I'd be like, you are born survivor of the middle passage, you are born of kings and queens. And just be like ASMR in it, and then I'll be like playing like high vibrational music as well, just to increase like, you know, higher molecular mitochondrial reproduction.
I don't know like, what you just said, bro.
That's what I'm saying. All the science. I'm making an ultimate child, and then he'd be just there sitting next to me listening to very soft Motown being played all the time. I got a whole plan.
So guys, thank you for coming to do this episode, and we're not going to do the normal format of everyone having a question, but I'm going to pose a question that we can play out for a little bit longer, and then we'll wrap this brilliant time up, which is, you know, we started this show, Dane, in April. The first episode went out in April 2018. We sat in Brixton with Kay Curd and recorded a first episode. My question to you all is, can you believe, or do you, you know, how do you feel about those last almost 3 years? a lot has happened in that time.
I'll go first. I kind of sleptwalked into the whole thing with the podcast. I didn't really have that much of a frame of reference when Howard came with the idea and stuff. So it was like, just making sure you find yourself somewhere on a regular basis and interview people and put together content. In terms of everyone that's a guest now on the 100th episode, it's always good to be able to have reliable friends and colleagues, both in and outside the industry, that will help you support a brand and a vehicle. And so, yeah, I mean, with the kind of, the truth be told, like, I'm not always that enthused about talking to people randomly for an hour if I'm not being paid to, if I don't need to. So having guests that, you know, you do encourage conversations and make the whole experience very comfortable makes it so much more enjoyable. And I think a lot of the time when it comes to most of my comedy formats, and people ask me to suggest talent, like, these, you guys are normally the names that always come up off the top of my head. So... if it's not this or Bayless, it's always like always the go-to. So for me...
Well, my phone hasn't rung for a while.
You're on the phone to your new friend.
Your QI friend.
Yeah, your QI friend. I never got... I got a phone call for QI at Ishan. So maybe that's why. But no, it's been really fun. I mean, I think obviously the podcast has been able to increase in listenership, and but I'd say... what has been the constant, and I think for me has always been the best USP, has been the quality of guests and stuff. And questioning things is all much, it was easier with people you can kind of talk to. So I can definitely believe it. And I'm just very happy that people are so enthused in terms of audience still listening. And
Howard, were you talking about the podcast particularly, or just the 3 years in general?
Well, a bit of both, really. Obviously, for Dane, it's, you know, it has, we, me and him have spent these 3 years kind of recording. I mean, I've spent 100 hours. That's a lot of time we've spent recording stuff together, Dane. Fucking hell. But for you guys, you know,
not sick of you yet, Howard. And that means a lot, because my tolerance for most people is so low.
Yeah, I'm like a ringtone. I'm kind of annoying to start with, and then I'm kind of catchy, I think.
How I describe a ringtone, bro.
Athena, you've not been here for Howard's. He's been Howard's basically doing an anthology of slang. So we've gone through ringtones, cotching.
Cotching's a fine word. I would teach my child cotching.
Howard was like, yeah, I miss having a cotch. I was like, bro,
that's such an old school word. Yeah.
That's so old.
I've not said a cotch in a very long time.
Babatunde and Athena were still before you weren't even parents back then, boy. Now you're like, bro, no, back in the day, I was But Athena's in class and they're like, Athena, come and coach. You're becoming a woman. And this video will explain how. Come on, everyone coach. And I explain how. It was an oldie but goodie, Howard. Don't ever feel otherwise. Coach is right up there. All the great old school words like breakbeat and breakers, you know, those kind of words.
No, there. Howard, nowadays you got to say you're holding the vibes. That's what
it
is.
I'll write that down.
All jamming is still good. I think jamming is still there.
I'm still jamming.
But just to return, how's the last 3 years been for you, Ishan? Do you feel like you look back on it as no, that will be an incredibly memorable time in your life? Or
I think like personally for me, I feel like I've grown as a comedian in the last 3 years and my profile has slightly grown in terms of the things I've done.
Slightly grown, yeah. It's like we told Sean Walsh the other day when you were on the phone to
him. Yeah, Sean Walsh, me hanging out. But the thing is when Dane asked me to, my comedy career, I owe a lot of it, but a lot of it is linked to my relationship with Dane. So Dane took a chance on me to be his tour support when I was very, very new, must have been 6 or 8 months. And we first met when we did a gig in Hamburg. And I thought Dane absolutely detested me because I sat next to him on the plane. There were two seats next to each other. And I sat next to him. And when the plane started taking off, there was a seat next to me that was empty. And Dane just looked at me and was like, are you going to move down? I was like, whoa, this guy. He didn't speak to me. And then when we got to Hamburg, the promoter said, okay, Ishan, the first hour is yours and the second hour is Dane's. And I was like, oh, shit, I've only done this 6 months. So I obviously had a panicked look. And Dane goes, have you got an hour? I said, I've got like 7 minutes, hoping it would like build a bridge. And Dane just went, oh, like that. And this is my first time having to fill an hour. But then eventually Dane asked me to do tour support. So when he asked me to do the podcast, I was just really pleased because I felt like, oh, this is like Dane believes in me. This is a nice thing.
Mm.
And then, of course, I believe in what the podcast is. I recommended Stephen Bush to you guys. Managed to do the hookup for that from the New Statesman.
So, thank you very much.
It's a podcast I believe in. And, you know, and for me, having done it so early on in my career, it's just nice to be associated with it and come back to do a 100th celebration with him.
Yeah. How about you, Athena? How's the last couple of years been for you? Obviously, blimey, You've done something quite significant.
I've given birth. I think it's a weird thing. I'm going to ask the question contextually because personally, I've got to say, the last few years have been weirdly lovely. But contextually, the world's just gone to shit, and it really has. Like, if you think about the world from 2017, 2018 to now, like we've gone through what America has done in the past 8 years. That legacy will last about 100 years. You know what I mean? 500,000 people dead. You know, and that's just from the pandemic. What about all the other people who passed away through just their poverty lines increasing and stuff? And that's just one country. And this isn't just happening in America. It's happening in Brazil, another massively populous country. Happening in India, one of the most populous countries in the world. And so just the context of the world, it's just horrible. And it's made me become more introverted. So I'm like, I can't fix the world. So I'm just going to make my own little bubble quite nice. You know, I can't be bothered to. In fact, I'm sure on that episode, I was like, let's just give up. Do you know what I mean? How many more books do we need to release about racism? There's another one out. Hello, white people. This is what racism is. Isn't it bad? It's like, no, stop it. Let's just stop.
And can I just say as well, in terms of my relationship with Athena, one of the most significant trips I remember, we drove to Bristol. We did a gig at the Hen and Chickens in the middle of the week. Yeah. And I remember you made an observation about Bake Off because it was starting to take off. And how it was like, did people realise that the whole confectionery industry was kind of underwritten by the slave trade and obviously sugar and, you know, molasses and the like. And I was like, hell yeah. And and since then, I've always valued Athena's perspective, and in a way, always sought counsel from you, that like, even when we've been at the fringe and all the like and stuff like that as well. And by the same token, when the world has gone to shit, I literally am just like, can I just see pictures of your children? So I'm starting to be fucking happy. That's kind of the relationship I have with Athena, is that like she'll send me a picture of Astra and stuff eating, or I look at Astra's hair, and now Ion's in the house as well. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a way of being able to keep me very grounded and, yeah, not allow for my, obviously, I guess there's a very distinct outlook to kind of descend into this bitterness and this rage.
Can I just say, we've all been hustled by that question about who would you choose to...
yeah, because she knows, yeah, because she knows, Athena knows I would die for her kids, that's why.
Like, hold on. Half of us in on this, right? Make us seem like bad people. Like,
also, you guys are young, you've got your lives to lead. Like, I'm getting older now, it's about time I'm getting to practice. I'm observing more paternity anyway, Kay. Like, you've got your whole life ahead of you, man. Like, you got so much going for you right now.
Yeah. Mr. K. Kurd, how has the last couple of years been for you, man? You've done some great stuff with your comedy in the last couple of years. It's been amazing, right?
Yes, it has. Kay. And it's so. And
I'm not saying you've completed your journey, Kay. I'm just pointing out that you've done some great stuff.
It's all about perspective, isn't it? Like, I feel like I put it on Twitter the other day. I was like, the whole world just needs a group therapy session after like this pandemic. I just feel like everybody's just angry and whatnot, and it's hard not to like soak up those sort of feelings when the whole world's going through something like that. Do you see where I'm coming from? So it's hard not to be affected by it. Personally, I mean, I think I've tried to not gain happiness from my work, if that makes sense. When you link your happiness and your mental well-being on how well you're doing in your career, it is a very it can be very damaging, because when it's not going well, your mental health's going to be in tatters. And when it is going well, again, you shouldn't be experiencing highs like that just based off of like how work's going, essentially. So I'm sort of learning to try and build happiness from other sort of things. So that's what the last 3 years have sort of taught me. Like doing well at work and stuff's all cool and good and whatever, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't be what makes you. And when you have conversations surrounding mental health, I feel like for a lot of men, particularly just due to traditional viewpoints about what it is to be a man, it's so often linked to your earning potential and your ability to provide, et cetera, which is what we get a lot of our self-worth and self-belief from a lot of the time. So trying to... separate that from your mind is something that I've sort of been trying to learn. But otherwise, I mean, I suppose like there are certain milestones I've achieved within my career, but it's like anything, when you're ambitious, the goalposts keep changing. So when you hit a certain thing, you're like, all right, what next? And which is another reason why you shouldn't gain happiness from a lot of the stuff you do at work, because you often end up, you know, like sad because you're like, oh, I thought I'd feel like this while when I was here, but now I still feel like what I was. So it's like, what is there that you need to work on in order to get to that happy place?
Yeah, but have you had fun though?
Kay's answer was brilliant, Ishan. Kay's answer was brilliant. Leave him alone, Ishan.
No. He's quite right. Have I had fun? I've had bits of fun mixed in there with like other bits that weren't so fun. But yeah, I mean, I turned 30 in lockdown, so it's I stopped making old jokes.
I haven't
mentioned his name since April. It's just given me a different perspective on life as well. So,
Bubba, I've got to ask you. You're the last person to ask these last couple of years. How's it gone for you?
It's gone all right,
it's been
man.
A lot. But the last 3 years have been a madness, my dude.
Yeah, it's been mad for me. Last year was amazing. You know, like really, really, really amazing. But other than that, I think just like, hey, I'm just focusing on making sure like the house is in order. That's about it. You get me? Just loving my wife, loving my son, and just trying to, you know, live this nice country life and, you know, avoid all these crazy white people that I live around now. That's
where do you live? Where do you live?
I live in Stevenage. You know what I mean?
Nice. You're kidding me. We live down the road from each other. I live in Nebworth.
Hey, you're from the
said avoiding crazy white people, Howard. You heard what he said, Howard.
We can go for a walk with the kids.
Howard, we ain't going nowhere to get out of here. I'm joking.
No, Beverton Day, you're right.
Like, someone was like, you're wearing Under Armour trainers. I can't be seen out on the roof.
Hey, don't get it twisted.
My trainers are fine. He's a fine trainer.
Don't get it twisted. I started looking at Skechers, bro. I'm starting to look at like walking shoes, like proper walking shoes.
Babatunde.
Don't worry, bro.
We're gonna link up. Yeah.
I wanna see that. I wanna see these two dads at brunch having a dad's brunch when Howard's like, well, you know, we just sleep in separate bedrooms because it's easier for my wife. and Babatunde's like, I know what you mean. Last time we were in Barbados. My wife had said to me, she needed some space as well. And I didn't know what to do.
I can't wait for the Channel 4 commission as well. Howard and Bubba Cotching. Oh, it'd be so good.
Holding the vines.
Yeah. Cotching with the kids.
So it's country Cotching.
It's country Cotching.
It's
interesting. I feel like based on what everyone's kind of saying is that one of the biggest exercises for most people during lockdown has been to become comfortable and accepting of yourself. I think if you are someone who's not able to kind of deal with your own complexes and own issues internally, like it's been a struggle. But I think in some ways, like everyone's kind of spiritual and psychological endurance has had to become increased and stuff like that as well. But at the same time, it's like, like Athena said, the world.
Well, being on Gogglebox makes it easier, though, isn't it?
Chickadee chilling. Listen, you could be worse work than getting sitting down and getting paid to watch TV, but there's worse work out there, man. But I think, just based on even what Athena said as well, is that obviously looking in very chaotic and quasi-apocalyptic times. But by the same token, I guess, I look at it as, there is an element to the world we live in that is, we're starting to hear the faint sound of the death knell. And, maybe we are in the process of contractions and giving birth to a new society and redrafting the way this society has kind of...
Bro, the West is done, innit?
Yeah.
Let's just be real. The West
It has. And you know what? and maybe not even a fucking moment too soon, bro. Because like I said, I endeavour to remind people that prior to lockdown and this whole COVID thing, we were looking at the calm and explicit resurgence of fascism within the West and the privatisation of the NHS. And I'm not saying that this hasn't disappeared, but the robustness in which the marches of the alt-right were walking through cities and towns and just basically in the collective consciousness was just a madness and people were kind of shrugging their shoulders. And so we needed this to happen to kind of remind us of our humanity. And, every now and again, sometimes we need it.
You know what, Dane? I'm going to bring my guys from Tottenham to my house and I'm going to invite you to just talk because I don't know what you just said, my G.
Yeah. that's what I'm saying. It's like...
I'm going to be like, listen to him speak, man. Listen to him.
We're getting to that point where, the NHS is going to get privatised. Like, you had this whole alt-right thing, seeing the rise of, political parties which have, more white supremacist leanings all over Europe and stuff. And... yeah, it just took for Mother Nature to step in because if you look at things like the issues of housing, just issues of just employment and economics within the West anyway, it was like, when is this shit going to stop? And, the last 18 months, if nothing else, have shown us that, there are a lot of people whose entire livelihood, their existence, hinges on the idea that I have to go to work and I have to go to this place of work to earn money to take care of my family. And they've now had 12 months, which has proven that this whole supposed model. Truth and this model by which I've based my entirety of my life was never real in the first place. And I think for a lot of people, existentially, they've had to put themselves in a whole new place.
I'm going to disagree with you, Dane. This is a full storm. What we're doing is we're seeing the madness. Yeah. But just because we've seen it doesn't mean it's going to stop. If anything, we're doing everything in our power to get back to how things were. Look at this roadmap. They were very deliberate with this British roadmap of going back. They were like, June 21st, it goes back to normal. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So we haven't even learned anything. We haven't said June 21st, we're going to have a different society that maybe reflects what we've learned. It's like, no, things are going to go back to normal.
Exactly.
Like, who's made the most money? Pharmaceutical companies, obviously, because you rely on their medicine for the vaccines. And Amazon. Because why? We couldn't stop shopping. Could you imagine? We were locked in our houses and we were seeing the world crumble. And instead of learning about ourselves, we were on Amazon and we bought glow-in-the-dark toasters and whatever fucking shit people are buying.
So I think this point as well is like, some things have been set in stone in terms of, you know, on Twitter, everyone's become an expert about what is and isn't right about the vaccine, right?
Yeah.
People in the country right now are blaming, right now, the narrative has changed to, oh, Black, Asian, minority, ethnic people are not taking the vaccinations, which is why we're not going to come out of this pandemic. So whilst I agree with you, Dane, I think for me, I'm a bit more skeptical because we've all found our pockets even more because we've become so insular.
Mm.
Because we're in our households now, we've become even, I feel like we've got become even more insular. And I'm just a bit worried about how we're going to emerge.
Not even just that though, bro. Not even just that though, bro. Do you know how many people are going to end up poor after this? Like,
yeah.
Follow ends, bro. That's when you're going to see the real hunger game.
But this is what Athena's saying.
Crime's going to go up. There's going to be.
Athena's saying is that we are on the cusp, really, really, as essentially, it's a real sink or swing moment. Particularly in Western civilization, where we can choose to still try and convince ourselves that these systems have benefits to ourselves, when it's proven that they don't. Nor
democracy is dead.
Yeah, democracy, and the bipartisan political system as it exists is dead as well. So we're just at a crossroads where it's like we will need to determine who we are and how we do things if we're going to proceed or if we're going to have a chance of survival. And I think in some ways that sounds like a very daunting and very, like, you know, scary state. But on the other hand, we should look at it as, like, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. Like, you know, the Chinese say it's crisis and opportunity. I think we're at a point now where...
I've always said it, bring back Sharia. It's the only way.
Now, that's your answer to everything, Ishan. That is your answer to everything. But at the same time, it's like, if people have to socially distance, they can't build masjids, okay? It's very hard to do that at the same time. So, you know, that being said, though, now you can translate like a Quran now, a Quranic text. With an app very easily. But I just think for comedians, especially for observers, people that are supposed to be monitoring, you know, social upheaval or change in flux and stuff, it's a really interesting time to be alive and try and chronicle humanity through art. So,
well, and I think we are very lucky, six people sitting here able to have an outlet for what we have to say about the world. And this podcast, which started with just this little small idea, over lunch, 100 episodes later. And today's episode has been exactly what I hoped it would be, Dane, which is what we always hope for, is laughs and some serious talk, right?
What's sponsored by today, though?
Something respectable that we don't disagree with ethically.
This podcast is sponsored by New Life, Athena. That's what I'm saying. It's sponsored by New Life. Because all the stuff that we're like, oh, what's going to happen? Baby boy doesn't know.
Is that watch when they edit in an Uber Eats advert into this?
Shh, don't tell them that. They always fast forward it. It's fine.
That's what I'm saying. That's the way to look at it. It's a new life. And whatever we know, however we feel scared, it's a whole new world and a whole new chance for baby boy to decide whatever he wants to be. So,
yes, baby. You know.
Doctor. He's going to be a doctor.
Yes, Athena, the Indianness is coming out.
Wait, sorry. Stop it. He's a Black man in this world. He's going to be a doctor. He didn't have a choice.
That's the typical African response.
So that's 100 episodes, Dane. That's it done. There we go.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. Thank you so much, guys, course, for supporting man. The podcast in the traditional stages. I very much appreciate the support you guys always come through for in all of my crazy harebrained schemes. Who are so hairbrained, I no longer have any hair. So thank you guys for being there through that whole time. And I hope you guys have been well over lockdown. Again, what are your plans? And when can guys find out more about you guys' great stuff once we return to a new world order? That's right. I said new world order on a podcast. Eat it up, YouTube conspiracy theorists. So, that's it. And Kay's throwing
up. We know you can see Ishan on QI soon. We know that much.
Come on.
All right, so other than Ishan dominating the TV waves, where can guys find you guys, starting with Ms. Kublenyi?
Twitter. Find me on Twitter. Say hello. I like Twitter. I live there now.
Yes. Yeah. I'm on Twitter too.
And running the Twitter sphere. Mr. Eleshi?
Instagram, Babatunde Comedian. Twitter, Babatunde Comedy. And I'm literally on Gogglebox all year again.
Nice.
Yes.
Back on it.
On the Celebrity Gogglebox doing this thing. And
well, mustn't it be nice? Like.
Yeah, brilliant.
Kay Kurd, my man, the original, the first. The
just find me on Instagram, bruv. I'll find it a lot more fun. Instagram and TikTok. I'm even on Killer if anybody's.
The thing with Kay is you don't need to find him on Instagram. His videos will find you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's true, it's true.
I find like Twitter's become so divisive and annoying. So I just
I love it.
People, let's not leave out Kay. I think he left something out in terms of your last 3 years. Man can give himself a trim now. Don't leave that out, bro.
Yay. Yay.
Man can cut his own hair in that. That's what I'm saying. Positives, positives, positives. All the time. I mean, this has been a BBC commissioner's wet dream, aesthetically, if nothing.
Yes.
Do you know what? So I thought you were going to go, this has been a BBC production.
Yeah. You know, BBC Studios, BBC Studio Audios, or whatever it is.
No.
Producer was Howard Cohen.
No, this has been perfect. And Dane, I mean, 100 episodes, we're still going and we're still going strong. We haven't really even got started yet, have we? And these guys will be back at some point again soon because we love them.
Absolutely. But just know, if you were a grime artist with a prefix big, you'd have had this about 4 years ago. So...
It's been fun. And also, thank you to you as well, Howard. I appreciate coming to me with the idea and obviously taking care of a large amount of the logistics behind the microphone and stuff, man. So
it genuinely makes my life better. Like, I we all make things creatively. And you know what? Like, this genuinely makes my life better doing this show.
I'm glad.
My wife even tolerates me doing it and editing it. So,
Son, shout out Tara as well for making this happen and putting the money behind this scruff bag that is Howard. So that
yeah.
You are
rich wife vibes everywhere.
And for 25% off Uber Eats on your first
call. Also, needs to say as well, a massive, massive, massive thanks to the listeners, those of you that continue to support the podcast weekly, as well as sharing it and making more people aware of it as well. Please continue to support Question Everything, because the whole ethos is that, you know, as we discussed with my amazing guests, that the first step in changing your reality is to question it first. So I hope you can continue to do that both on and off of the podcast, and always work towards a higher state of being and a universal love and all that, everybody. So big up yourselves and keep questioning things, innit? We're about.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him on Twitter at DaneBapTweets or Instagram at DaneSnapTeast. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheHowardCohen. The show is mixed and mastered by Audio Culture. You can follow Audio Culture on Instagram at WeAreAudioCulture. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DBQE Podcast. That was our 100th episode. Thank you to all our guests, Kay Kurd, Ishan Akbar, Baba Tunde Aleshi, and Athena Kugblenu. Thank you to everyone who supports us at Acast and Dane's management team, particularly you, Lydia. Thank you. But thanks most of all to our listeners. We've been going for 100 episodes now, and it means the world that you keep listening to our show and enjoying it. So keep listening, guys. We'll be back soon. Keep questioning everything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.